Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back.
Here's your chance to catch up on all of those Creating Wealth shows that you've missed. There's a 3-book set with shows 1 through 60, all digital download. You save $94 by buying this 3-book set. Go ahead and get these advanced strategies for wealth creation. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com.
Hey, it's my pleasure to welcome Malcolm from Malcolm Out Loud TV, and he has just got a lot of interesting views on a lot of interesting topics, so we're glad to have him today, coming to us from Florida. How you doing?
Doing great, and they're all the right views, by the way, too. I just want you to know that up front here, man.
Well, I'm sure you have all the right views, no question about it.
Well, what I mean is they're not views from the left, at least, you see.
There you go, exactly. So let's start with Nanny Bloomberg, how's that sound, and these oversized drinks, and get your thoughts on that, and if it'll make any difference with the obesity epidemic.
Right. Well, Mayor Bloomberg is completely out of control these days, Jason. I mean, it seems like every other week or every week, he's got some sort of a new program, a new tax, or a new concept, or a new idea, or a new way to crunch somebody's liberties, you know? And this latest one was just a complete joke. I mean, do you remember when you seen that on Newswire, when he had this great idea that he was going to sort of help obesity out of New York City by banning like anything over a 16-ounce drink, right?
Yeah, and all the businesses, the restaurants, were outraged because they had to go change all their cup sizes, and they were very concerned about that. It is literally insane. I mean, what he's doing.
It was off the charts. Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I thought, man, this mayor is A, bored, B, needs a part-time job to keep himself busy, or three, he's really out of control, man. And talk about creating a nanny state, he certainly is right up there. So, and he continues to do that. Just a while back, he wanted to ban certain substances like styrofoam and other types of materials for things made. He's now come out with another thing this past week. I think he's got too much time on his hands, so he's thinking of ways to invent ways to control people's lives. But listen, the soda ban didn't do so well. Obviously, the courts came out against this, and they said, hey, wait a minute, this thing is unconstitutional. So now what's happening is, I don't know if you know this, but the city is going to appeal this. I mean, they're already appealing it.
Unbelievable. I mean, the fact that they even have the guts to appeal it is kind of mind-boggling. But, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you for a minute on this, although I agree with you. But go ahead with what you were saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly they are. I'm saying when you take a look at things and you see that, you know, they're wasting taxpayer money again to go ahead and appeal this. I mean, there's something unsettling to me about that. But yet, this is what seems to be where a lot of people are today, Jason. They want to have their hands held. They want to be told what to do and what not to do. And I think this one certainly qualifies. By the way, the Supreme Court, it was Supreme Court Justice Milton Tinglin is the one who made the ruling, and his words were that the loopholes in this rule effectively defeat the stated purpose of this rule.
Well, and he said, no. What does that mean?
Well, it means that the challenge to 16-ounce limit on sodas and any of these high-calorie drinks, actually, that the way they've set it out, the loopholes in this rule, that there were loopholes within the way you could buy the drinks, where you could buy them. It was, in other words, it was only certain places. It was there were a lot of rules they built into the law, if you will, and that's why the hospitality industry was fuming over it. And so obviously they stated that it defeated the purpose of the rule, that they have no really legal standpoint to make this thing fly. Now, the city council, Michael Cardozo, came out and said, we're confident the Board of Health's decision will ultimately be upheld, he says, but clearly I don't expect them to win this thing. So, listen, I think, you know, this whole thing came from the fact, by the way, that they're saying 24% of the adults in New York City, Jason, are overweight. And, like, that's a big surprise, you know. But, again, these are decisions that people make. And at the end of the day, one has to make their own decisions. Well, they may not be the right decision, but who are we to judge, right?
You are certainly right about that. And who are we to judge is also right. However, when you live in a climate of big government and socialized Obamacare, doesn't the collective get to say you don't get to be fat? Because it costs me money.
Right.
You know, that's an argument.
Well, there are a lot of things that would be an argument that would fall under that clause very, very carefully. And right now, we're just starting to see the early signs of Obamacare and the unraveling of this mandated health care program is just starting to fall apart. And you're going to see an awful lot will be said about this, Jason, in the months ahead. Especially as we ramp up for 2014 with the taxes, fees, and laws coming down the pike here. There's a few things that are going to be impacted here. The level of health care is going to deteriorate. The quality of doctors and the amount of doctors are going to be a hell of a lot less. Your waiting times and certainly your hospitals and your doctor's offices will be much longer. These will all be products of Obamacare. And then you can get into the economic standpoint of what happens with jobs. Already, we're seeing companies are moving from full-time to part-time employees to avoid the health care because they can't afford it.
A whole bunch of companies have done that. It's obvious. I mean, this is what government never seems to get is the law of unintended consequences.
That's right.
You know, the entrepreneurs always figure out a way to make their business more efficient.
They figure out
a way around these stupid rules. And I'll give you a great example, Malcolm, and I'd love your take on this because I never heard it expressed quite this way. But I was doing a trade show with one of my employees recently, and there was something going on in the city. It was Nashville. And so we had to stay, you know, we got a couple of rooms in this sort of cheap, crappy Red Roof Inn hotel, and it was a dump. Believe me, I don't like staying in hotels like that. I'd much rather stay in a Hyatt or a Hilton or something. But anyway, that's all we could get that weekend. And the Wi-Fi was free. And one morning we got up and I was walking over to breakfast with him. I knocked on his door, got him. We walked over to breakfast. And as we were walking over to breakfast, we were both complaining about the Wi-Fi. And he says, if they only make people pay for the Wi-Fi, then people wouldn't be using it ridiculously. They wouldn't be just wasting time on it and sucking up the bandwidth. You know, if it was just $5, then people would... they would use it with some amount of care and conservatism. But because it's free, everybody just jumps on there and downloads everything and no one can use it. And that was kind of a good point about the tyranny of the collective, if you will.
Well, I think it's a stupid idea. I think, why, if you ask me, Wi-Fi should be free everywhere. And I don't agree with that at all. And I think nothing is more disturbing than to walk into any place where they're charging for Wi-Fi. I think it should be free. I always thought it should have been free.
Well, as something that the UN could do, okay, which, you know, would be one of the few good things they could really do, is they could create a global Wi-Fi system and give everybody access. But the point he was making is a sensible point, and it really relates to socialized healthcare. When it's free, everybody just doesn't care about it.
Well, but now that's not going to change with this program, my friend, because let me say this. When's the last time anybody, if you're in a hospital, you stay in a hospital for a week or two, and I've seen this time and time again, and the bill comes in. Who in their right mind, A, even looks at the bill?
Nobody
cares.
Don't.
Number two, you don't go through an itemized program to say, okay, this is this, this is that. You don't look at anything, and God knows what they're charging for all kinds of drugs and generic drugs and everything else, but they're saving money and charging top hat to the insurance companies. Happens every day, Jason. Continues to happen. Always going to happen.
You are 100% right. And that's the problem with our system. They could make leaps and bounds fixing the system if the patients were just engaged with the prices. The way when I take my dog to the vet, when I go to the dentist, you know, at times I haven't had dental insurance, and when I go to the dentist, you know, I'll bargain with them. I'll say, hey, can you do this for this price? You know, I'll actually care about the care I'm getting. I'll be engaged. But when I go to the doctor, it's like, I don't care. Run every test you want. I'm not paying for it. There's no engagement from the patient.
Yeah, nobody cares. I mean, this is a fact. And yeah, it's a busy lifestyle. Everybody's busy. They're doing their thing. And that's what happens. And you're exactly right. We've talked about this for years. I mean, it's not a new event. But clearly, people are, you know, into their own deal, and they're not paying attention to these kinds of things. It doesn't seem to be their problem. Everybody pays for these things. We're all paying. And let me go further with that point of view. Today, there's an awful lot of talk about an entitlement society, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
All right, so we talk about this entitlement society. We talk about the expansion of government. We talk about big government and what's exactly going on and our liberties being jeopardized and so on and so forth. However, there's a whole sector of the population that have been convinced that government is the answer. There's a whole sector of the population that believe the government has the answers and that they will solve all the problems somehow. They also believe that if it comes from government, it's free. And they believe that government has an endless supply of money. Now, let me tell you, they really, really believe that.
I mean, it's amazing.
With their hearts, they believe that. And there's no fine lines to these people. And there's a lot of them. And they all voted in 2012 for Barack Obama, okay, as they did in 08. And the point of that is, we are creating a nanny state sort of environment. There's no doubt about it. But if these people thought a moment, if they would just stop and look at the reality, and look beyond the media soundbites, and look beyond all of this, they would then know that we are all paying for these excesses that we have, this waste, this environment we create. We're all paying. Somebody has to pay. For instance, anything you go and buy today that you are, if you're getting it for free, in other words, you say, well, I'm getting it from the government, it's free, what the hell? The companies, the other things that someone's paying for those things. They're not free. And you're paying on the flip side somewhere else. So there's nothing free. Every company has to make a profit at the end of the day or they're out of business. The only one that doesn't have to make a profit is the federal government.
No, yeah, Malcolm, you're absolutely right. I mean, look, people have to realize with these, the politicians love to talk about corporate welfare and they love to talk about how, the big evil corporations are just not paying their fair share. Well, the point is corporations are just pass-through entities. When you go ahead and regulate them more, the big corporations love that because it keeps competition away, you know, and they can monopolize a market. And when a monopoly is created, the prices always go up. Wall Street is a huge fan of regulation, you know, even though they may act like they're not. The fact is that keeps the competition out of the business.
Yeah, I mean, it's another thing with all these corporations. People don't understand. We're given, there's a lot of talk. We're seeing what's going on in Cyprus right now with the collapse of the government and the banking industry and the fact that they just had a big meeting the other day in Brussels and they just resolved the fact that, okay, we got this bailout. We got this like 13, 14 billion we need. But right now what's going to happen is everybody is going to take a slashing because the money was only projected to 100,000 euros. And anybody who's got any more than that, they've lost it. They've lost a ton of money. Russian citizens up in arms, the Russian government, have invested all kinds of money, legally and illegally.
And the Russian mafia.
They're all upset. And they, it's tantamount to theft, they're saying. And Cyprus, in the meantime, is... And so people ask, okay, could that happen here in America? Is this what we're headed to? And you have to start to look at the big bank mentality. You have to look at where government is and this mentality that there's a bailout for every problem, every itch, and everything that ails you. And then you can start to draw some conclusions. You know, I've done a couple of fascinating shows recently, Jason, with a world economist, a fascinating man called Harry Dent.
Yep.
And he shed some pretty good light on world economics and facts and numbers. And he's always a good draw for us. And you'll find him right on our site, on our news magazine. But, you know, this gets into the broader talks, but we're all connected. When Cyprus was sort of got that money that morning, Jason, what happened? Our stock market was positive, not that it will be all the time, but it was. Had they not got that, how are we connected? It would have plummeted. and we would have had major losses here because they would see the risk in Europe. And there's still a lot of risk in Europe. Europe right now is built on a bunch of tinder blocks that are about to explode.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. The other way people pay for it is not just in the fact that corporations are pass-through entities, if you will, but also they pay for it in inflation. You think there's something free from the government, you're out of your mind. The value of your wages is declining. The value of your savings is declining. And someone has to pay. Stuff does not get created out of thin air. This is not magic. It's just the way it works.
They don't understand. They're not. No one's really explaining this and grasping, which is a lot of things, Jason, quite frankly, why I'm in this business. And it's the sort of topics and things we take on the production for these reasons we're talking about right now. Most people don't understand it, and they're not explained to it, you know, to them in a very logical way. And, you know, you just give it, Jason, the problem right now today in this country, the media soundbites, the things that people are hearing every day, the conversation that is being had on the streets, I'm telling you now, that conversation has been hijacked by the extremists, both from the left and the right. That is who owns the soundbites right now. And that's why you're seeing this. Everything's dramatic.
It's a corporatized media, and there's just a few big moguls that run the whole deal. So, yeah, it's amazing. But speaking of media, Malcolm, I want to ask you about this. I mean, this is more than saber rattling now that's going on with North Korea. It looks like things are really, really heating up over there. Certainly Iran, too. But maybe let's talk a little bit about why are they so threatened by the U.S.? I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, North Korea is a very unusual environment because it sort of now has become it's a communist country, but also a family dynasty. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Kim Jong-un and his wife just recently had a baby, and it's been kind of kept as a state secret. Nobody knows. In fact, nobody even knew. I found out, incidentally, just recently had reported on it. And they believe they've had a girl because they don't, when it's not a girl, they don't brag. If it was a boy, they would have had the child rolled out and it would have been a big deal. Everything is kind of a sort of a state secret there. Here's what happens. We have had sanctions against North Korea now for some years, and obviously it has not worked. They continue to bully. They continue to threaten Seoul, South Korea. They continue to threaten, obviously, the U.S. is the latest. They threatened to do a nuclear attack against Washington, D.C., if you can believe that. The other day, they said they have missiles in play, and they're ready to fire them off. And, you know, they're making some pretty strong statements. I think there's an interesting point to this. I did a show about a week and a half ago with a gentleman called Robert Patrick Lewis, interesting man, an expert in this particular area of the world. And as he stated to me, Jason, more or less, and there are people who believe this, that with Kim Jong-un, it's sort of a cry for help, I think is the best way I can put it there. We sort of isolated him at this point, and that's the problem with sanctions, although we don't really have a choice. But when we kick people out of the world's community, and they certainly deserve to be kicked out, but the point is, we still isolate, it's isolationism. And he's on his own, he's doing his thing. The only one that has seen this man to any degree and seen the inner workings is Dennis Rodman, God forbid.
Yeah, and, our new ambassador.
I think he would actually probably be a very effective ambassador in North Korea. let me put it this way. As much of a clown as he is, he surely can't do any worse than the politicians.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got to agree with you there. North Korea is like the hermit regime. It's mind-boggling how isolated that country is. I mean, I'm fascinated with it. Do you know, Malcolm, if you look at a map, and you may have seen this, a satellite image of the world at night, and you'll see South Korea is lit up and blazing and high carbon footprint. I'm just doing that for Al Gore's sake. And everything around it is advanced and modern, and North Korea is almost totally dark.
See, because what happens with these dictators, like in Venezuela with Hugo Chavez, like in Iran, like what's happening in a lot of these countries, what happens is the dictatorships, they control the information, they control the influence, they also control the dollars. You know, when Hugo Chavez Dodgers recently, they found billions and billions of dollars he had stashed for his own privacy. In the meantime, the citizens of the country are in the worst possible filth and as poor as could possibly be as these clowns hoard all the money. And that is exactly what happens in the case of North Korea with Kim Jong-un. They live in the lap of luxury. They feed off the people, and then they act like they're doing their people some sort of favor. They're not doing any favors. It's a disservice to society. It's a disservice to these people. But obviously, these people are being held in captivity in these countries, like it or not, and it really is a fact, and they're not free. And that's the way the world's made up right now.
Yeah, no question about it. The thing that concerns me about Kim Jong-un is that he really wants to prove himself. He wants to, I'm afraid of that guy more than Kim Jong-il. Kim Jong-il just was a rotten dictator, but Kim Jong-un seems like he really wants to make a statement.
Well, here's the reason. He's a 29-year-old. When you're 29 years old and you're trying to make a big point, you got to remember something else now. When we talk about that cry for help and we talk about North Korea, when his dad passed away, there was a great deal of talk in North Korea about who would secede and who would the next dictator in chief be. And you have to remember the military. There are some very strong hardliners out there that run the program. Now, where Kim Jong-un is he's in a very difficult position because he has to appease the hardliners in the military, and he has to prove to them that he carries a big stick, and certainly he carries a big mouth. And so if they can carry that big stick, in other words, many of the hardliners right now are thrilled to see this confrontation. They want a confrontation with the United States, and they very much like it. It puts them on the world stage. They can talk about all these kinds of things. Obviously, they're not going to get a lot done. These guys haven't been real successful with getting rockets and missiles up in the sky, let alone attach nuclear weapons to them and send them over the ocean. But you still have to take their threat seriously, Jason, which we are. We've just expanded our defense shield, our military defense shield. It's at 30. And it was supposed to expand to 44 under the Bush administration. President Obama had stopped it to try to, whatever. He just was not a big defense guy. Now he recognized in the past couple of weeks we need that shield up, and it is proceeding now. It'll take a couple of years to get up there. Fort Greely, Alaska, which is home now to some of our missiles, will be added some more and some more here on the western east coast to protect this country. So the point is we have to take a Kim Jong-un's threats for real. And we have to protect this with these defense shields, which is sort of the same thing, by the way, that protects Israel.
Yeah, yeah. It's really an amazing time what's going on, and amazingly scary in a lot of ways.
Oh, the world itself is crazy right now, buddy. I mean, everything you see in Iran and the president just coming back from Israel, again, we've done a show just recently where we talked about the real possibility of nuclear war in the Middle East and what that means to people and what that means to the states here. And I want to tell you, Jason, there are a lot of Americans who are listening and who run around who believe that it's really not our business in the Middle East. We need to stay the hell out of there and not worry about it. And let me assure you that if we ignore Israel and if we ignore the Middle East, if that was really an option, we would pay a very high price here, because don't think for a minute that the problems out there will stay on those borders. They are definitely going to impact America. Make no mistake about it. So to isolate our country is not an answer, as Rand Paul would have us do, or even Ron Paul did. Isolating America is not the answer. You understand?
Well, I think that, I take a little bit more of a middle ground on it, thinking we don't need to be as interventionist as we are. The Ron and Rand Paul point that we have, 170 military bases, more than that, but in 170 countries we have bases. I mean, that's insane.
Without a doubt, we are police in the world. We have been right along. We continue to do it today. Between nation building and police in the world, the price for all of this is tremendous, both in blood and dollars and time and productivity and economic benefit back here. It is a huge blow to our country, yet the consequences are dire if we're not in the right place at the right time. So, yeah, it is a fine line. It's a fine line with our leadership, Jason.
There's one more cost that you didn't mention, and that is the cost that, thrown our weight around a lot, you make people mad at you, and there's blowback. And I'm not saying that's a giant factor, maybe not as big as Ron Paul makes it out to be, but it is a factor. It's another factor. That's all I'm saying. I take kind of a middle ground on it.
The other factor is we could do what Ron Paul says and just stay home and shut the doors and the windows. And
you can't do that in today's world.
Well, that's why he didn't win the election. I mean, listen, he had very good economic policies. He had some real good idea to get Washington in shape. And actually, I like a lot of his ideas and thoughts there. And many conservatives did. But quite frankly, from a from an international standpoint, this foreign policy, it's like the Mickey Mouse Club. It's beyond words. And that's where he failed.
It's too extreme.
Oh, you can't have that. And nor should we be policing every second of every moment in the world. We can, which is why we haven't stepped into Syria. I mean, look what's happening in Syria. People are dying by the tens of thousands out there. This man is slaughtering his citizens. The latest report is that maybe he's used chemical weapons. Well, we still don't have verification that he has or has not. But again, President Obama had drew a red line on that and said, listen, that's a game changer. If he does, we're going to do something. Well, that's a threat the president is going to have to deal with now, because you have to put your money where your mouth is. You can't be talking out there and not follow through with the actions. We're losing credibility around the world real fast right now, let me tell you.
Yeah, we are. Well, tell me what else is going on at Malcolm Out Loud and what else you're covering.
Some very exciting things. There's some huge developments. It's a lot happening with our network in our world, Jason. We are right now in a wonderfully expansion mode, and what's coming down the pike here for us is the Out Loud Network, which is much more fascinating and with a just a great assortment of shows and activity of content. And it really is. More people have now turned to the web and have turned to what I call talk radio and national blogs is where you get any truth in this country. You're certainly not going to get them from network or cable television. And that's where the conversation has changed up a bit. And so our expansion by having other offerings and other hosts and other possibilities with the Outlaw Network is upon us. And over the next 60 days, we will have a transformation, which is very exciting. We just celebrated our third year in our national news magazine, which is historical by any standards here in this business. And so this is very exciting times for us. The Out Loud Minute plays on hundreds of radio stations around the country. Jason, as you know, the nationally syndicated Out Loud Minute has been very successful for us as well. So a lot of things happening back here as we continue moving forward with the conversation and get people involved, buddy.
Hey, one more question for you before you go, Malcolm. How did you start?
Oh, for me, it was about change. I spent over 25 years in corporate boardrooms around the world. I was the CEO and creative director of a worldwide marketing and advertising agency, my friend. And I spent more time in corporate boardrooms and with very interesting people. And it was that movement that made my mission is to really bring the leaders to the mic. How do we get the real conversation, bridge the gap between the powerful people in the business community and the corruptness of the political world? That's kind of where it started for me. Back, the transition for me happened about 4 years ago. I wrote my first book and started the movement as a public speaker into the radio television circuit. Now we're just getting ready to launch our own daily show as well. So we'll be on every day. So we've got a lot of things happening here, Jason, that are moving pretty quick. And it's just good to get people involved in the conversation and get others involved in how we can improve the quality of life for our families, our friends, our businesses, our associates. And that really is the bottom line. And I encourage people to get involved. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, catch up.
Fantastic.
You know, that's the place to catch up and put an opinion in there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Malcolm, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate your insights and keep up the good work on your show. It's not only informative, but it's also entertaining.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.